And Danny, the good reading of the scriptures, and Jeff, the reason I said that this morning is because I'm having a little trouble with my voice, and so I'm thankful that he's scheduled to do it tonight. Welcome, everybody. We're glad that you're here. Appreciate so very much. Remember, if you want a copy of that wonderful singing that we had, be sure you go back there and tell them, put your name in the box. I've already got my copy, and we've been listening to it, and boy, it is really wonderful. Glad to have you with us today. And all of you that are visiting, come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. We're studying today about a question. Who will put on the whole armor of God? The armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, again, a repeat, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul uses the word finally. Finally, my brethren, 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians. And in the light of all that God has done for you, Ephesians 1, verse 3, that in we're all blessed with tremendous spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the light of the glory standing as a child of God in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Chapter 3, in the light of the great plan of the ages that God has made a part of you. You and I, being able to be in that wonderful fellowship that's found in Jesus Christ. And God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 3 and verses 20 through 21. And we have the ability to ask God and ask God for anything, and He will abundantly give to us. Paul then in chapter 4 talks about the oneness. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you call, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and in through all and in you all. In the light, therefore, of the filling of the Spirit and walking by the Spirit of God, because we're all one in Jesus Christ. Chapter 5 tells us about the great and wonderful blessings that husbands and wives have. The exhortation, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. In light of all of this, we have a battle to fight. And we ask the question, who then will put on the whole armor of God? David needed to be strengthened. And the King David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Where did he find his strength? In the Lord his God. Do we need that too? Oh, yes, we do. And who is on the Lord's side and will stand ready with the armor of God? There are two things that are absolutely essential. In being able to stand, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And over, we're taught in the Scriptures to be strong. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Number two, putting on the armor of God. Not some of it, but all of it. Why? Because we're going to be preaching and teaching His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. But you know, a lot of people just waste their time. They're not getting stronger, they're getting weaker. May I suggest, some are committed to too many things. There's too much conversation sometimes and not enough doing. Arguments, debates, wrangling. Plain laziness. too much time in the wrong company, forgetting what God says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What's going to happen with those that associate with those that are evil? They'll get contaminated thereby. Too much foolish talk and joking. Love of money and career and life and the desire for respectability and some image before people, maybe an unequal yoke with an unbeliever, ungodly entertainment and wrong attitude toward the Word of God. These things can weaken you. And we want to be strong. And I mentioned in the class, and Stuart made a real good comment in his prayer about how that in the world today, what is, just put all religious people who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ in the category of Christianity. The most people that are being killed because of their faith today are those in that category. I found that last week. Can you imagine in the world that you and I are living in? There today, there are people that are persecuted, that are hurt. There are people that have no access to the Word of the Lord. There are people who have no encouragement. They can't even meet in worship like this openly. And I thought that was amazing. Yes, there is a war, and that war is on. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are, they're not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds." But you got to have the armor on that God gives us in order to be able to withstand. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, not part of it, all of it, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Our war is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities. It's against powers. It's against the rulers of darkness of this world. It's against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the battle. And the battle is the Lord's. And we're in that battle. The principalities and powers are used so many times in the Scriptures. In Romans 8, verse 38, the Bible tells us that principalities cannot keep us from God's great love. In Ephesians 1, 20 and 21, tells us that Jesus is enthroned in heaven, far above all principalities and powers. In Ephesians 3, 10 through 11, tells us that the church makes known the wisdom of God to principalities and powers. In 1 Corinthians 15, 24, tells us that principalities and powers have an end, and one day that purpose will be fulfilled and God will no longer let them work. Therefore, God has a purpose in their being. And Colossians 2:15 tells us that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers at the cross. What are they? Evil. Things that are associated with the devil. Principalities and powers that attract people to themselves and not to Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to stand. And we've got to have on the armor of God to be able to stand in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse, stand with courage and with strength. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, stand with faith that we really believe. Stand in Christian liberty and be thankful for it. Galatians 5, and verse 1, stand in the unity. Philippians 1, and verse 27, stand in the Lord. Philippians 4, verse 1, we should stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Colossians 4 and verse 12. Because Christians will be attacked. We will. And many Christians are today. Yes, we can't be frightened then. Nope, we can't droop or slouch. It means that you and I must take our positions and we stand. And we do not have given a thought to retreat. Because we are in the battle of the Lord. Our standing is dependent upon the armor that we have. That you may be able to put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the devil's tricks, the wiles of the devil. What is that armor of God that you need and I need, that we must have in order to stand? Stand up for that which is true. Number one, the Bible says truth. Have your loins girt about with truth, with the belt of truth buckled around you, as it were, around your waist, holding you together, because truth is God's Word. It's John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You got to have the truth. Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You cannot stand, and I cannot stand, and we will not stand unless we have girded about us, about our loins, the truth. Number two, righteousness. God's righteousness. When Peter came to the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35, he said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of nations, but he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. That just simply means being justified by the cross. Being justified and right because we're following after righteousness. And the Bible says, having on the breastplate, having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having it in its place because you're doing right. You're serving right. And therefore, you got on part of the armor of God. Third, thought this was beautiful. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word shod means ready. It carries with it the idea, my friends, of being fitted. We understand what it is to with regards to a mule's foot being shod. It strengthens it. And so ours. When we put on the whole armor of God, we have the gospel of peace. Is that which brings about our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. No wonder Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. And don't let anybody fool you. There's only one thing that can convert people to God. That is the gospel. It's God's power. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those were the words of Jesus. When your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ, you know it. You believe it, and you're ready to stand for it. And you use it by telling others that glorious gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein you stand. If you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. What is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where's the power? It's in the power with the man who has on the armor of God, who has his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then he adds, it is a shield. Be sure you have the shield of faith. Why? Because taking unto you the shield of faith, and you'll be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. Paul said, you can't do that if you don't have that faith, which is indeed the shield of God. The faith, there's one. Not two, not three, not four, just one. No wonder the Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we see right away, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Having on that shield, or using the shield, which is faith. Because in every direction, when you're attacked, all you have to do is say, this is what God says. This is what I believe. And this is where I stand. Ah, how beautiful. Then he adds to that. He says, you've been saved. Ah, the helmet, put it on. Salvation, for whom? In Romans 5, 8 and 9, the Bible says that though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And Paul writes that we have been justified by Jesus Christ. Being therefore justified by His blood, we have salvation. In Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We need to herald forth that. And I tell you what, and I mentioned this before and I'm going to repeat it again. I think we need to do everything we can to send as many Bibles as we can to as many people in their languages as we can. Because I honestly believe the greatest power of all, you can't go. If someone can go, send with them the Bible. Let them distribute the Word of the Lord. Where is the power to save found right there in that Word? Yes, I am persuaded that even though we have the Internet, even though we have all these different gadgets we can use today, the power of the Word of the Lord is the means of bringing about salvation to those people that are in Africa, those people that is in Australia, those people who are Japanese, Chinese, they all need it. And what's the most powerful thing of all? It's God's precious Word. Let them read. You remember what Benjamin Franklin said about the Bible? This book will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from this book. Ah, how wonderful to read that we are saved in Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God. Finally, he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and use it. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, you preach the Word. When you tell a man to do that, you're telling them what they want. You want them to do is preach the Word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God. What does Paul say? Stand up. Take on. Take on what? Finally, my brethren, do what? Look to God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the faith and in the power of God, in the mighty power of God. Take upon yourself. Take upon yourself that wonderful, marvelous truth of God, the armor of God. Having your loins girt about with truth. And then having on that breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. Having not only all of those wonderful characteristics, but also be sure to have the shield, which is the faith. And then don't forget, add to that the helmet, salvation. And there's your sword. Use the sword, which is the Word of God. The battle belongs to the Lord. But who will join and add the armor of God to go and fight the good fight? I don't think you could tell somebody who's dying anything greater than to tell them they fought a good fight. Kept the faith. Henceforth, laid up for them. They finished the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for them a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to them that love is appearing. Tommy, I hope we can have that said to us. hope it can be meaningful to us. But we can't unless we have the whole armor of God. Over in 2 Kings chapter 6, the story is told about the Syrians that are going to come after the children of Israel, and they couldn't understand the king of Syria. He couldn't understand how that his plans were always revealed. Finally, the inquiry was made, and it was told him, I tell you what, it is Elisha who is telling everything that you're going to do, what you're going to do, and all of that. And he said, Elisha, yes, he's telling others the things that you speak of in your bedchamber. Elisha, boy, the king, the Bible tells us, he mounted, he got a tremendous number of horses and chariots and men. And they found out that Elisha was at Dothan. And the Bible says they take off. And in the morning, when Elisha's servant gets up, he sees all of this surrounding on the mountain. All of these people that have come to get Elisha. And he said to his master, Master, what's going to happen? What will do? Ah, he said. Elisha told him. He said, those who are with us are more than those that are with them. Two people? More people than all of that? And then Elisha prayed to God. God opened up his eyes. He opened up his eyes. And he could see the fiery chariots and all the horsemen and all surrounding Elisha. He could then comprehend, to be able to know that there was one that's so powerful that when you're standing with him, you stand with the majority. And Elisha said, now, Lord, cause all those Syrians to be blind. And instantly, they were blinded. And he led them out and away over to Samaria. Elisha knew something. Elisha could say, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The battle is the Lord's. And He is with us when we stand. God is our refuge and strength. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. And Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Don't ever forget that. Whatever comes up in your life, whatever battle you have to fight, when you have on the whole armor of God and you have God with you. Friend, you've got the invisible protectors. I want to ask you this morning, where do you stand? Paul was standing for truth, even though he had been so guilty of so much sin. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what I was like before, but I'm not that way now. Because as he wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, about the armor of God, he was faithful to the Lord. 2 Timothy 4, 7, 8. I ask you in conclusion, do you have on the armor of God? Put on the whole armor of God. Not just part of it. Put it all on. Be faithful. Be diligent. Serve in the Lord. And just think, when this life is over, what a joy it's going to be to have been victorious here. And then in eternity, be able to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Do you know my Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you standing with Jesus? Are you afraid? with God, we can do all things. It was Paul writing to the Philippians in Philippians 4, verse 13. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's where your strength is. Stand, therefore. Yes, having your loins girt with truth. Having on the breastplate. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. Yes, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Put on the helmet of salvation. And then, here's your sword. The Word of God. The powerful Word of God. And use it. And stand fast. Just as Paul told the Ephesians to do. If you're not a Christian, won't you obey the gospel this morning? Be baptized. If you're a Christian and you haven't been faithful to the Lord, come back to Him. And let's all stand. And let's stand with Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus? Won't you obey Him and be in His kingdom today while together we stand?